Good morning. Kids are dismissed for Children's Church with Donna. Well, it's January, and those of you who have been here for a couple of years should by now figure it out that in January I preach stewardship. I am live right there. We go. Why? Why would I do such a thing? In the Bible, there are 40 verses that deal with baptism. There are 275 verses on prayer, 350 verses on faith, 650 verses on love, 2,350 verses that relate specifically to finances and material possessions. 2,350. God obviously has something to say on the topic. Let's look at stewardship. What is the definition of it? It says that stewardship is the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. That is the definition of stewardship. Now, the NIV Bible translation, the one which we normally use and is my personal reading Bible, does a disservice, I believe, when it replaces the word steward with manager in its translation. Because the two words, well, having some similar meanings, and in fact managing is even used in the definition of stewardship, it really doesn't give us the right picture. A steward has a lot more latitude and responsibility than a manager. So, let's just take a look at a text. We're going to look at Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to go to the New King James Version today instead of the NIV because I didn't like the removal of the word steward and the replacing it with manager. So Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read the parable of the unjust steward. Verse 1 said, "He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said to himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved to do that when I am put out to the steward, they may receive their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill, set it down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because of what he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. Mammon is money. when you fail, that you may receive you into the everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit you to trust the true riches? And if you have been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he is loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we seek to learn what it is you would have us to know from your word. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit would be present here, that you would lead and guide as I preach this morning, that the words, the illustrations, that all that I bring forth would be helpful in helping those who hear this to better walk with you, to know your will, and to help them to follow it better. Lord, we pray that your name is one lifted up and glorified, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have this parable of this steward. It's the title I even have on mine is The Unjust Steward. But the question is, why didn't the master then go back and say, hey, no. He found out what happened. He found out that the steward had gone and given these other people discounts. Why didn't he just say, no, sorry, what the steward did is not valid. You owe me. Why didn't he do that? Because the place of steward is very similar, or most similar, to what we would know as somebody who has power of attorney. Okay, it's not just manager. A manager is somebody who works on your behalf but is given strict guidelines and can only do certain things. As I said, a steward has a much greater latitude. Now, I myself have power of attorney. I've had it for several different people, but one of the people that I have, or a couple of people that I have it for, is my mother and stepfather. A number of years ago, in 2003, they were members of a church which had difficulties and ended up folding, and they had lent the church a significant amount of money. So when the church folded, the assets of the church reverted to my parents. Some of those assets ended up here, and we use them today. The chairs in the dining, in the foyer area, the soundboard that we use, some of these things, these are some of the things which we received from that. But what happened was, my folks were leaving to go to Texas. At the same time, they received notice that, here's the property, come get it. Well, they turned to me and said, Bruce, will you handle it? I said, yeah, I will, but I'm going to need a power of attorney in order to settle the property. So I would like you to just do that for me. Give me a specific power of attorney for that. My parents, however, gave me what's known as a general power of attorney. Let me just read to you a couple phrases in this thing. You could have knocked me over with a feather when they did. One of the things that says, my agent shall have full power and authority to act on my behalf. This power and authority shall authorize my agent to manage and conduct all my affairs and to exercise all of my legal rights and powers, including my rights and powers that I may acquire in the future. My agent's powers shall include, but not be limited to, the power to maintain and close bank accounts, conduct any businesses with any banking or financial institutions, form any act necessary to negotiate, sell, or transfer any note, security, or draft in the United States, including U.S. security treasures. Have access to any safe deposit box I might own, including its contents. Sell, exchange, buy, invest, or reinvest assets, property owned by me. Purchase or maintain insurance and annuity contracts. Take any and all legal steps necessary to collect any amount of debt owed to me. Enter into binding contracts on my behalf. Exercise all stock rights on my behalf as my proxy. Maintain and operate any businesses I may. Employ professional and business assistants as may be appropriate, including attorneys. Sell, convey, lease, mortgage, manage, insure, improve, repair, or perform any other act with respect to any of my property, now owned or later acquired. Prepare, sign, file documents with any governmental body or agency, including but not limited to. And it goes on. I could sell everything that they own. And there's not a legal recourse against it. Because I am their steward. They put the property in my hands and said, deal with it. Bye. Unless you think this is a far-off example, anybody remember the parable of the talents? I didn't tell you guys about this one, but if you have and pull it up, you can do this one, the NIV. Parable of talents is Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And it reads, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another he gave 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Here's my property, deal with it. I'm gone. That's exactly what my folks did with me. They left it to me to deal with their business. That's the steward's job. Now, my job was to attempt to recoup as much value as possible. They gave me specific instructions. They said, you know, if you can use it at Northbrook, if it's something that will help your ministry there, we want you guys to have it. If not, we would like for you to sell whatever you can. But if you find a ministry that you think is needful of it, you may donate it. These were the verbal instructions I was giving. But again, I was given full power of attorney, so as far as the verbal instructions go, you know, it's one of these. Because they were trusting my decision-making abilities. Okay, now this is really scary considering my mother knows me and has seen some of the decisions I've made, but she's also seen some of the others that have turned out not so bad. These two files here, this is the paperwork that I have involved with dealing with that property. Because I ended up having to go to court with somebody who purchased some of the property and then didn't pay for it. Talk about a nightmare. But I was the one. Court filings, court papers here. I signed their name and then my name, and it says attorney in fact on the court documents. That's the power I had and did and still have. This is the power that the steward had in the parable that Jesus was sharing. The parable of the unjust steward. He had every legal right to do what he did. Because he's a steward. Doesn't make it necessarily right or in the best interest. But let us take a look at this. Now, in the parable of the steward, we have this part. So, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that his man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. In the parable of the talents, in Matthew 25, in verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. stewards are required to be held accountable. Now, while I have these documents, they can also sign another document anytime that says those power of attorney papers that we signed, they're null and void. He's no longer our power of attorney. To my knowledge, they haven't done so. I would assume they would tell me if they had, but they don't have to. They're not required to, but they would have to file them. Well, he informed the steward that, "You're not my steward anymore. Or you're going to be ending up. I need you to clean up the books, bring them in, and show me. Make an accounting of it." See, a steward cares for, manages the owner's property. The steward owns nothing that he's managing there. It's the owner's. But he has full use of it, access to it, and is responsible to seeing to it that the best use is gotten from it. Now, with my folks, a lot of the property came here. Other parts were sold for very reasonable prices to various ministries, most of whom were more than happy to pay. And in fact, have called me up later, "Do you have any more of those?" It's like, "Nope, sorry. All gone." Some things have been donated to various ministries, such as Big Sandy Camp and others. Again, as it was left to my discretion, where I felt would be the best use for some of these things. And that's what I've done. I tried to get the best return for their money, yet at the same time, using those resources for the advancement of the kingdom. Overall, there was, out of a $100,000 debt, they didn't receive $20,000 in cash payments. But there's at least $12,000 worth of property that came to Northbrook that we never could have afforded to go buy. So, and that pleased them greatly. So I did the best, but I certainly didn't get more than what I was getting, but I was put in a situation to deal with what it was. And that's what God does with us. He makes us stewards and He gives us things. He gives us resources. And He says, "Now you're my steward." This is your responsibility. In I said in the Bible, it tells us 2,350 verses that are specifically related to finances and materials, possessions, material possessions. This is because sometimes we as stewards get confused. And we start thinking that it's our stuff. And the financial issues that we deal with really do mess us up. You realize that finances are the largest contributing cause to marital stress and divorce? I mean, even beyond before sex? Seriously. Finances. Money. Property. That gets between people before anything else. Even before your in-laws or outlaws, however you happen to look at your married family. Some families get together, some get along, some kind of clash a little more. The biggest issues are with property. Now this is as of the year 2003, the data that I have here. 20% have property in storage facilities. So as Americans, we have property that we don't know what to do with. So we stick it someplace to store it. Now, I don't have any storage facilities other than under my basement, under my house, and plus in my garage. And I got plenty of stuff in boxes that's just stored. This is what I'm doing with the resources God has put in my hands. Put it in a box. What happened? So the guy who said, the man who had received one talent came to the master and said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sounds awful harsh. Penalty there, Pastor. I mean, he kept it and he gave it back. That's not what we're called to do as stewards. So this is why we need to understand what stewardship is. Is God gives us resources. And then we are meant to be the stewards of it. He gives us the power of returning. And He is bound by what it is that we do with it. But He will hold us accountable for it. There will be an accounting. One day, I did have to sit down before my parents and say, this is what I did with your property. And they said, good job. Thank you. We approve of what you did. One day, I will have to sit or stand before my Lord and answer to Him for that which He's put in my care, which He has made me steward of. It's up to me to do with it. He's given me instructions. He said, this is what I want to see happen. But He's given me full power of attorney over it. He's made me its steward. He said, deal with it. I'll be back from my trip. I'll see you later. Now, while my folks were on their trip, I was able to have conversation with them because we have telephone and email and such. While Jesus is on His trip, we can still have conversation with Him because we have this thing called prayer. And we also have God's Word, the Bible. It's written right there. So we have written and verbal communication. Yeah, with Him. We can go back and say, okay, I don't know what to do at this point. What would you have me to do, Lord? Which is always a good place for us to start. Sometimes He tells us to do what we think is best. That's always scary to me. But the fact of the matter is, He will hold us accountable for what we do with the resources He puts in our hands. And that is stewardship. In Luke 12, Peter and the other disciples were talking with Jesus, and he had shared with them the parable of the faithful servant and the evil servant. You know, these were the guys where he says, you know, here in verse 35 it says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves like men who wait for the master when he will return for the wedding. When he comes and knocks, they may be open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself up and then sit down to eat and will come and serve them. If you should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so blessed are those servants? But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant will know his master's will, and did not, that servant who knew his master's will, and did not prepare himself, or do according to his will be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom was given, much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, to him they will ask the more. That there is telling us is that if I knew what my Lord wanted and I didn't do it, I'm going to suffer terrible consequences. If I didn't know what my Lord wanted and I still went against his will, I'm still going to suffer the consequences of that, just not quite as bad. Kind of like the difference between intentional homicide and unintentional homicide. Okay? If I accidentally kill somebody, that's an accident. I didn't mean to, but I did it anyways. I'm going to suffer consequences. If, however, I go out and intentionally kill somebody, that's a little bit higher consequence, and more will be required of me. I would be in jail for much longer. Some states, the death penalty, dependent upon the nature of that intentional homicide. How badly did I go beyond? This is how we are held accountable for our stewardship. How you will be held accountable for what God has given you stewardship over. You say, what have I been given stewardship over? I'm going to tell you that next week. Right now, just remember, you, our steward, God has given stuff into your hands for care. And it's up to you to make sure that you deal with it according to His will. Because you will be held accountable. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you are indeed a blessing to us. Lord, show us how to be stewards. Help us to understand what stewardship is. And to recognize that what you give into our hands to be stewards of, we need to answer to you for what we did with it. So, Lord, help us to be good stewards. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we're singing, There's Just Something About That Name.